Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's on, it's on, it's on. Guys, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Could be a flame out in the first round. It could be a run to the conference finals. Who knows? Right? Like, I can't argue with anybody. Right? I can't tell you one way or another. But here's what I do know. Playoffs start tomorrow, man. We gotta be in. These things don't come around, right? And let's go. It's like going into the unknown. I feel like I'm walking, I've landed in a foreign place. And I'm not talking about Europe. I'm talking about some other galaxy. And I know nothing. I feel like I'm going into another galaxy without any idea of what life is like. But it's the playoffs. So we go and let's see what happens. All week long, we have discussed whether or not it can happen, right? Whether or not they can get hot, play good ball, the strategy behind it. All right, like we'll go through it all. Nick Nurse, we understand it. Nick Nurse and Toronto, Nick Nurse is a good coach, and Toronto's going to do certain things. Now, I do think that we make Nick Nurse out to be Pat Riley. He's a good coach. But you know what he's going to do to Embiid. He's going to blitz him. Right? To borrow the football praise, the football phrase, he's going to blitz him, meaning he's going to send two and three defenders at him. And he's going to look to lock down Embiid until somebody, look, it's the correct move, right? Because until someone makes you pay, Harden, Maxey, Tobias, he's going to try to lock in on the big guy because there's no one to guard him. So you attack there and you say, all right, you're a sometimes a three-point shooting team. Not a bad three-point shooting team, but not a consistent and not a really good one. So when you're looking like that, it's you look at Harden, you go, hey, finish it. Finish it. You got to do it. I saw a great line, and forgive me. It was, I think it was Jalen Rose who said he was going over Harden's stat line, and he said it with Greeny. And he said, it looks like concert dates. 4 for 13, 5 for 12, you know, 6-10, yeah, 7-21, like that sort of thing. And it was interesting. It was a good line. It got a chuckle. He's got to show you that he can knock down that shot. He's got to knock down shots in the perimeter. Max has got to get run outs. And Tobias has to hit catch and shoots. And they got to do that 4 times. 3 times. Without Thiebaud. That's it, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. They're not a great defensive team, so they're going to have to outscore Toronto. You're going to have to, you can't, you know, blow leads. You're going to have to be focused, and they're going to come after Joel. And they're going to blitz him, and they're going to send guys at him. And those other guys have to step up, and they got to do it over playing 40 minutes. I expect a good game one. The one thing I do believe in is that they're going to win game one. I well rested. I think they'll have some giddy up. I think Harden has a good game one. And then I don't know after that. I don't know. I you know, could he wear down again? I guess. I don't know. But I do believe he has a good game one. I think it's paramount. Like, it's paramount you win it. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he goes, look, 1-4. They're the crucial games of this series. And he's right. My man Scotty. He's right. 1-4. Crucial games. You got to start out. You lose one, they smell blood. You got to win one. Game one. Have to. Game four, obviously, if you're up 3-0, it doesn't matter. But I don't think you're going to be up 3-0. So that's going to be a key moment, too. And how does this team respond when things get tight? I want to see it. I want to see them respond favorably. Because that's the one hallmark of this team. They got to get over that hump when things get tight. Every time you look at it, you can look at it through the last few years. When things get tight, they fold. Now, you don't have to deal with Simmons running away from the ball. It's a big deal. They should be equipped to handle it. Good morning, Chunas.
Under 32 hours away, man.
I know. I'm very nervous.
So I got to play this.
Yes.
We're getting closer, man.
Yes. And I'm very nervous. Extremely nervous, Chunas.
Well, that makes me sad because...
I'm excited.
Okay, good. Yeah.
No, I'm excited. I'm tense. This music...
makes it worse.
No, it totally depicts how I feel. Like, I'm happy. I'm into it. Like, I'm beyond the... It's business. It's like I feel the tension of every dribble, of every possession. That's what I feel.
No, it's butterfly time for you?
Yeah. That's right. I feel it.
That's the mic.
That's my stomach.
That's the mic inside your stomach put in when you were asleep.
Right. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Here we go. I mean, it's
what
time.
Do you think?
Listen, I've been saying it from the beginning. I think they win the series. I just think it's going to go 6, maybe even 7 games. Because the reason why, like, 6 makes sense, but it's in Toronto, game 6. So I would not be shocked if they lost that game without Matisse Thybulle. I heard Devon, who was on with you yesterday, he popped by in studio. It was great to see Devon. And, you know, he did the whole, you know, he thinks it's going 6, but he wouldn't be shocked if the Sixers ended it in 5. I'll be honest, I would be shocked if the Sixers ended it in 5. Unless James Harden looks like the player you saw when he first got here. If James Harden is the player that we saw when he first got here, then the Sixers could roll.
Yes.
But if he is not cooked, but he's obviously lost a step from where he's been, where obviously we've seen him play at an all-time level, he's a top 75 player all time, then this series could go 6 or 7 games. And I think that's going to freak a lot of people out, but I'm kind of already expecting it. But I do think they win this series. I think this is going to be a really good test. And you could make the argument that the Sixers were not tested enough in the first round last year with the Washington Wizards. And then they probably took the Atlanta Hawks lightly because they had their noses up in the air and said, wow, we're the one seed Sixers. We're not going to lose to the Atlanta Hawks. And then they got caught. They got caught sleeping a
couple
times.
They were also a disjointed team, right?
They were.
Again, now, especially knowing what we know about Simmons looking to get out of game 7.
Yeah.
He didn't want to even play in the playoffs. But knowing all that he didn't want to play in the playoffs.
That's a pretty big factor.
You know, now you realize that there is a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Right. And so now you're going to go into a pretty tough series with Toronto, but I do think you'll be tested, which maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing for the following round against Miami. Obviously, Miami's the one seed, so it's not like the Sixers are going to take them lightly. But after having a week plus off, after having a lot of time where you've been playing subpar teams, except for that Toronto game, you've played the Pacers, you've played the Pistons twice. Like, you've played teams that they've probably, like we've said in the past, you probably go into those matchups and you're like, the Pistons, or, you know, this one's easy. They haven't really had a true test since that Milwaukee game. So it might take a little bit against Toronto, but I do think that's a good thing that they're going to be tested in this 7-game series.
Yeah, but you're also going into it with hyper-focus. Like, that's why I keep saying about those games, and I slough those games off, because you're just not mentally prepared to play those games. It's why in sports, it's where the numbers have to come to rest, right? You can't somehow quantify your feeling as a human being. That's why you have those ebb and flows of NFL weekends.
Yes.
Right? Like you go, how in the world? They're 12-point underdog and they win outright.
Right.
And well, it's all because of that. It's all because you're on a road trip and you got stuff going on. It's just focus. I do believe they come out focused for game one. I believe their practice. I heard all about their practices.
We read the quotes yesterday that
yes.
Harden said, I'm ready to hoop.
Yeah.
And it was a very spirited couple of days of practice. Joel Embiid was ripping Tobias, saying that he cooked his ass. And,
yeah.
You know, and if Tobias was to speak, he would say that. And he said it out of love because he just wants him to play well and all that kind of stuff. So apparently they had a good week of practice. We'll see, man.
Now, I'll say, I trust that Harden is going to come in and be really smart and play really focused. And I feel it. And I think that, again, from everybody, listen, we know he likes to have good time, right? God bless. We like to have a good time. We understand that. But I did hear, Keith Pompey said it with us, and I've heard it elsewhere, that he is a hard worker and that he takes practice seriously. And they had really good practices, and they really got a lot out of it. So I got to expect him to come in focused. Now, again, I don't know what happens after game one. I don't. I really believe that game one is good. Like, I think they win game one. But after that, that's when you go, can they sustain?
And that's why, I've been saying, obviously, this isn't like a hot take by any means.
Right.
You know, it's very important, I think, for the Sixers to take the first two. Like, I think they need to go into Toronto with a 2-0 lead. They can't go into Toronto split 1-1. Because I think there is a game that you are going to lose because you are going to be missing a deep. Like, they're going to get hot one night in Toronto. Like, Gary Trent's going to hit threes and Van Vliet's going to hit threes. So you're probably going to lose one of those first two games in Toronto. I don't want to be coming back to Philly tied 2-2. You know what I mean? Because then you're almost, I'm feeling a guarantee of 6-7 games. Well, it's obviously six games. But I need them to go 2-0 to start the series.
Yeah, I feel you. I can just look at one first. I just,
I agree. It's just Toronto. You know, we'll take two in Toronto. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I'm not approaching the series that way. It's way different than Washington. Mm-hmm. I thought it was the best draw. In the sense that you avoid Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and even Boston, and you get to play Toronto and Miami. I thought that was the best draw for them. Now, whether or not it works out in their favor, I don't know. But I thought avoiding Brooklyn in the first round, avoiding a potential Milwaukee matchup in the second round.
Yeah,
I think Milwaukee's the best team.
I wish Chicago held on to the fifth seed, right? Because Chicago.
I mean, that's it. But again, would you rather have Chicago and Milwaukee or Toronto and Miami?
Toronto and Miami.
Well, that's my point. And that's why I go, hey, you know, if you can't beat Toronto, then the whole thing's moot anyway.
Right, right, exactly.
Right? Like, then we can't think about getting to the finals or whatever. I'm hoping there's magic. Who provides? Now, to me, I have one answer. When I say to you, who's the magic man? Who provides? Because we know they're thin, right? We know that some of the shortcomings. But who provides the magic man? That magic, that undefinable component that you somehow ride. And to me, it's Maxey.
I was just about to say Maxey because I already expect Embiid's 30-plus.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I, like Maxey had the big game six last year against the Atlanta Hawks. I'm expecting like a big game one, two, three, four, five, six out of Tyrese Maxey. I'm expecting a big series where he's averaging, you know, 22 plus, but there's going to be the night where he finishes with, you know, close to 30, or maybe he has a hot streak where he ends the game for them in the fourth
quarter. Correct.
I'm totally with you, man.
Because you know why? because
he's got stones.
He's the yes, and he's the only person that you can't quantify.
Yes,
right. Like, listen, if Tobias comes out and balls out and is averaging 23 a game, we're all faint, right? Like, right. You know, I mean, I don't think he. I think you kind of understand who he is. He just needs to be. Provide you some points. Yeah,
15 to 18.
Right, like just be stable and just be consistent in that way, right? But as far as something that's consistently dynamic, Maxie's the only person that you can't quantify because he could do it. You can't say that he's got a ceiling that he can't do it in the playoffs because maybe he could because he does have stones, to your point.
Yeah.
He is a good shooter. He can flat out score. So Maxie could possibly be that guy, which is why that's the magic that I'm going to hold on to. Look, I mean, I'm not the way they're playing, the shape of their bench. I don't think this is a championship team. I've come to grips with that. I thought they were when the trade happened in the first four or five games. I thought they could win it all.
Well, if you see that again, you might get back to it. But
I thought, but knowing the shape of their bench, I don't know how you can overcome some of those things. Like, I don't know, can you overcome a lack of a bench against Milwaukee in a 7-game series? That feels daunting.
They're deep, yeah.
No, it feels daunting, right? Knowing the shape of Harden. Not knowing that he can be consistent. So that's kind of where I'm at. I kind of come to the grips that I think you probably need another offseason to bolster the bench and tweak it before you can win it all. But that doesn't mean it's okay. Like, you got to get to the conference finals. Like, you got to get there. And you got to get out of the first round. You can't, or else that's a disaster.
Well, I don't know if, listen, I think they can beat the Miami Heat, but even that's going to be a tough task.
Oh, a huge task. I mean, don't get me wrong. If they fall to the Heat in 6-7 or Ward 7, all right, well, whatever. But you got to get out of the first round. I mean, I don't even want to think about the Heat until they beat the Raptors because I don't even want to think about, you know, looking past anybody. All right, we got lots to do, lots to get to today. It's a playoff Friday. I need you, all right? And I'm going to do something on the other side. We're going to summon the playoff moments from the past to help us. No negativity today. Real talk. But, yeah, we're going to be hopeful about it. Buzz Radio, the Tunis. Just getting started on a good Friday. Hey, let me tell you about my guys over at Gold Nugget Jewelers, the corner of 8th and Chestnut. Yeah, man. It's Mother's Day around the corner, and you're thinking, I got to get a gift for my wife. We got kids. She's the mother. She's the matriarch. We're going to make sure we take care of her. So what are you going to do? You got diamond pendants, diamond earrings, specialty stuff. You got to go to Gold Nugget Jewelers. Head there, corner of 8th and Chestnut, heart of Jewelers Row. She's going to love it. Absolutely love it. I'm telling you, you're going to get some stuff that's going to blow her away. Well, listen, your mom, your aunt, your part of your family, any of your moms in your list, or if you're going to get engaged, please go see your own. He's going to take care of you, give you all education on picking out the right diamond. And then the setting is at the designers, DeCori, Verraggio, put it all together for an amazing engagement ring that fits in your budget. That's going to make life beautiful. 8th and Chestnut, GoldenNuggetJewelry.com. GoldenNuggetJewelry.com. That's the website. Check them out. Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Morning thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for morning thoughts.
Stop. Hey, lady! Shut up! Will you just shut your trap? Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
Well, I was thinking about playoffs, man, because I'm thinking about, but here it is. It's like the whole life's a circle, right? And we've reached the part of the calendar where now we're back to the playoffs. And I'm nervous. And then I think about playoffs past. And I think about, and I'm also hopeful. And I get to this same kind of spot where I think, all right, is this the year that we're rewarded? And I wonder, because we were rewarded in 2018. They had no business winning the Super Bowl. I still contend that the way things fall, it was just luck for us. You know, good fortune. Again, Eagles were good, but we've seen several better Eagles teams throughout the runs, right? Good fortune smiled. And again, it could have smiled on the Sixers the year of the doink. Right? Like, that was a year easily that you could say that they could have won it.
Because Golden State's banged up.
Correct.
Matched up well with Milwaukee at the time.
Like, you could have actually won it that year. It was very plausible that was happenstance. And I wonder about the role of good fortune. And for some reason, good fortune has not smiled on our winter teams at all.
No, I mean, the Flyers are a disaster.
It's not even now. It's they haven't smiled. Good fortune.
75, man.
Long time, dude. Long, long.
Close to being born.
No. And the Sixers, I think about good fortune, and good fortune has never really been on the Sixers' side.
It's crazy. You know, you were very young, but you experienced 1980.
Yeah.
When all four teams were in it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of like Boston a couple years ago. It's now Tampa now. Like, Tampa's in it, you know, and every sport is in it. And I would love to see that in Philadelphia. It's been 42 years since all four teams were in it together. Obviously, that's really tough to happen. We're all four teams. But I want to see relevance. Like, when's the last time all four teams have been relevant?
That's a great question, dude.
Right? You're coming out. I'm trying to think. Like, the Phillies have not been a playoff team since 2011. So the Cup, you know, the Cup appearance in 2010. But the Sixers, were the Sixers real in 2010? No. And now that the Sixers are real, the Flyers are falling apart. The Phillies still aren't a playoff team. They're going to be relevant this year.
But if you think about the amount of heartache.
Yes.
That, if you think about those two teams, and I think about the Sixers, and I go, I can't believe they've only won it one time, at least in my lifetime.
Yeah, and they've had very good teams and very good players. It's just never gotten put together. Like, I saw somebody tweet it out for the Phillies yesterday, and I've said this on the air a couple of times. I forget who tweeted it out. My apologies, but I've said it on the air 100 times. The Phillies have only made the playoffs 14 times. 14 times, dude.
And
they've been around since the 1800s.
And in the recent days, the playoffs have expanded.
Yeah, like, I get it. Back in the day, it was two teams made it, and it was the World Series.
Right.
I get it. But once you start playoffs, the fact that they've only made it 14 times and they hadn't made it 5 years in a row.
It's the cycle.
7 through 11.
I mean, it's the cycle. and we're back to, all right, now we're Sixer playoffs.
Right.
You know, Flyers aren't going to make it.
No.
And I keep thinking about the reward, and I keep going back to one thing, and that was the Faustian deal that was put out in the universe over and over and over and over again prior to 2018.
Man, shame on me. I turned down your deal with the devil about, what, 2 months ago?
That was a side Faustian deal.
I turned that one down.
But the Faustian deal that was made, over and over again on the Philadelphia airwaves with every show, with every station, with every barroom conversation. We just need one win. Well, an Eagles parade. We'll give up everything for one Eagles parade. And look what happened.
Coming to fruition.
Yeah.
But what sucks is they're also like needling us, right? Oh, you got James Harden. Top 75 player of all time.
But he's cooked now, okay?
Right?
Right? It's not just the Flyers stink.
Hey, Tunis, what did you just say? Okay.
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 Listen to me. I heard from the famous OK guy.
No!
Yes! He's awesome! Dude, this guy, and he's a nice guy, too. I want to call, but I'm shy.
I remember that.
Because I'm really shy.
What's his first name? Does it say in the
email? I got to find it. I love him.
Because I asked him to call in once, and he didn't. But he always...
He goes, I listen to the show all the time.
He left the messages on the riled up.
Here he is.
This, the that.
His name's Jim.
Okay.
All right? And he goes... Jim says, sorry, it's me, the original okay guy. The drop that Andrew plays okay is me.
That's awesome.
Loyal listener, love the show. Just talk fast, too shy to call in.
Sixers getting swept.
Okay.
No, I love this dude, man.
No, he was great. Dude,
he's a great guy. He loves the teams.
The day the Eagles traded up to the second overall pick, I must have been doing something. You know, there was no floaters at the time, so I was doing like 8 different things. And he called in and said, how come we haven't reported it yet? The Eagles traded up to 2, okay?
He's the man.
I love that dude. He basically broke the news on the air.
The Not okay the air, guy,
I told
man.
The host at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, guy's cool.
Well, I hope he's doing well. I had a morning experience, too. First, I'm driving on Route 55, as you know. You know the road well.
I'm not a 55 man.
Oh, you're a 295 man. Okay. Right. So I'm on 55, heading toward 42. And there's a truck. An RC Cola truck.
Wow. Now, they still exist?
I know they still exist because ShopRite has it. And I will be honest with you, I don't mind the RC Cola. Because it tastes a little less sugary. So I'm all right with it.
I don't like these sugary thingy. That's why
I like it, because it's got less sugar.
Right. I like the fountain. That's why the fountain doesn't seem to have as much sugar.
Yes, you're right.
It's sugary, obviously, but the fountain Coke.
Yes.
I got to stay away from the Pepsi.
I remember the fountain RC Cola at the Glassboro ShopRite. My mom would let me get the slice of pizza and the cola for like the dollar deal.
Dude, the slice of pizza and the Coke.
RC Cola.
That's awesome.
But I saw an RC Cola truck today on Route 55, and I was like, what?
Wow, that's awesome.
All right. The other one, I'm wearing a brand new pair of shorts, eh? Because for the first time in my fatherhood life, I got puked on. Not spit up on, that has happened, but vomit happened this morning on the pants.
Let me tell you, and you experienced it. Welcome to the club.
Thank you.
Let me know when you get peed on.
Okay. That's number two. That's happened.
Okay.
Yeah, like on the arms. Yeah, that's happened.
Listen, the baby vomit, that's nothing. That might as well be roses.
Yeah.
Like, the baby vomit's nothing. Now, when your little guy turns 4 or 5...
Oh, yeah, and then it starts getting violent.
And he starts eating, like, you know, like a meatball sandwich. That's when it's bad. Yeah. Now it's like you might as well again.
It was green. It was gross.
Yeah, but it might as well be, you know, floral.
Yeah. So got on the shorts and I go to the NICU prior to coming to work. Yeah. So I had to drive to the Target right here in Bala. And let me say this: basketball shorts don't exist anymore, Ant.
Yeah. What is that?
So I go into the Target. All right. Not Ben Simmons' Louis Vuitton store, right? I go to Target. And I go to the guy's section, and I'm looking for shorts. And they had the golf shorts, which I was wearing a pair of golf shorts. But, like, you know, sizes are different. I just wanted a pair of shorts. That's it. There's golf shorts. There's jean shorts, which I don't know why people wear those. There's all kinds.
Are the shorts still around?
Yeah, shorts still around. I told a story last summer.
Making a comeback to shorts?
I was on the golf course last year, and I'm not some snob. But I was on the golf course last year, and somebody was rocking the shorts, and I was like, that's kind of weird. But anyway, they had everything. I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, do you just have, like, a regular pair of, like...
Why don't you go to Dick's Sporting Goods?
Well, I was right, you know, I didn't have time. I had to come to work. I'm like, hey, do you have, like, a pair of, like, Nike shorts? Oh, we don't carry, like, basketball shorts here. I'm like, what? This is Target. This isn't Louis.
Wait, keep it going. Bob means jobs. Bob loves early in the morning Gap Band.
Well, I'll play it again. Yeah. It ran out, so hold on.
Bob Marino.
But I'm going, wait, you don't have just like basketball shorts? No, we don't carry those.
Yeah, but it's Target, though.
Yeah.
Really?
I thought I was at the Gucci store.
Why, the way he said it?
Yeah, it was kind of like...
Oh, well, he thumbed down? Like,
it was
he
like,
nose down the, yeah, the basketball shorts?
We don't have basketball shorts.
Really?
Here. And I'm like,
wow.
I thought maybe they were in a different section, but no. So I got the closest thing. I got the jogger shorts, but they're like above the knee and all that, you know, which is fine. But like, you know, I just wanted an easy pair of shorts that I'll wear again.
Right.
You know, I'll wear these again, I guess, but... Or anti-basketball shorts now?
I don't think so. I just think it's, you know, I don't know. I mean,
are they out of style, Ant?
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, go to Modell's. They got basketball shorts.
I think Modell's is all right. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
You know, for like 2 years now.
Really?
Hey, I gotta go to Moses. No Mo.
It's No Mo? No. Even the one on Argonne Avenue?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't even know. So.
No Mo Mo's, man.
Ever since we moved to Jersey, I go to Dick's Sporting Goods now.
Yeah, because there's the one at Deptford Mall. It's huge.
Right. That's right. I go there. But when I was, forever, was the Mo's on.
I was a big Mo's, man.
24th in Oregon and on 3rd in Oregon.
And there's the one on Chestnut Street.
Or front in Oregon.
There's the one. There was one in the Deptford Mall, but that shut down, too.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, no, man. No Mo Mo's.
No Mo Mo. I'll go to Dick's has it.
Yeah, I just didn't have time. I was.
I don't know. But I don't think they're gone.
What? Basketball shorts?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know they're not, but they weren't in this Target.
All right. I can't believe he knows you.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, carry these here. Like, all right, it's the khakis you got on.
Speaking of which, I have one more thought I got to bring on the other side.
Okay.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
ESPN, the great Tim Legler on the line. Legs!
Best time of the year, brother. Best time
yes.
of the year.
Yes.
Can't wait.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I was a little afraid of you today.
Okay.
All right? I was like, I wonder what Legs is going to come with. Like, I don't know if you're the Reaper. I'm hoping you're not the Reaper. But after thinking about this series, analyzing the series, I'm just hoping I get good news from Legs.
Well, it's a mixed bag. Let me, how about that? It's the best
right.
I can do
right.
because I'm not flat out deaf when you're looking through that peephole. All right,
all right.
Deaf out there. Okay,
I was a little afraid, like you know, to look at you in the eye.
No, but if you're coming here for some sort of guarantee, this isn't going to be heavy lifting.
Right.
No, I can't do that.
Sure.
I mean, it is what it is, man.
No, you need to speak the truth. I agree with you.
I mean, the reality of the situation is I think this is going to be an absolute war. And I think it's going to be a lot of fourth quarter drama in this series. I think these teams are I shouldn't say evenly matched, because on paper in the regular season, like, they shouldn't be evenly matched. But when I look at the way that Harden has played the last couple of weeks, there's no denying it. I think that makes these teams a little bit more even. If he continues to play the way that he has played, Toronto's played their best basketball over the last month of the season. There's no denying that. They're an exceptionally well-coached team. And I think when I look at the two teams, I see a lot of game-defining moments in the fourth quarters of these games. And ultimately, for me, I'm forced to make these picks. I had to picked every game this morning on all the ESPN platforms. And I ultimately picked the Sixers in seven games. And the reason I tip it to them is because of Joel Embiid. I'm going to give Joel Embiid the benefit of the doubt on the year that he's had, that he is going to be the difference between these two teams.
Okay. All right, so let's think about this for a second. You know that Nurse is going to blitz Joel, right? I mean, we've talked about this before.
Yep.
So that happens. And obviously, so much as to what kind of Harden are we going to see. How do you kind of project? Now, they're working on catch and shoot. So I'm curious, you're going to see maybe Harden a little bit more off ball.
Well, listen, I mean, whether it's by design or not, you're 100% right. They're going to hit you well with blitzes, and it's going to change from game to game.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Nurse is great at mixing it up. So what you're going to get, the options are on Joel Embiid, whether it's deep in the post or in the mid-post area, which he loves to operate. It's a lot harder at the foul line and the elbows, where he likes to catch it too. That's a much more difficult place to double-team him. So he's going to operate a lot out of there. But look, he's going to touch the ball a lot low-post and mid-post, and that 8 to 10-foot area off the lane with his back to the basket. The ball is going to go in there, and your options are double off the passer. Whoever the guy that makes the entry pass, depending on who that is, you're going to see Nick Nurse double right off the passer down into his lap. You're also going to see traps come from the top on whoever that guy is that they want to leave, and then they're going to play two defenders versus three on the weak side when that trap comes from the top. Then the last option is, and this is what Nick Nurse is going to mix in, he's going to rotate that secondary big or forward, because nobody really plays two bigs anymore, along the baseline, because Embiid likes to go to his drop step. He likes to go to the turnaround jumper toward the baseline. You'll see a third type of trap coming along the baseline. So he's got three different ways he's going to see it. And what they're going to do, look, you can practice all the catch and shoot you want now if you're James Harden. Understanding that ball's coming out of there to you, whether it's first pass or second pass, he's going to get it. I don't think that's a shot that he's particularly comfortable with. He likes to shoot it off the dribble. He wants to shoot it off the bounce. So that's what I'm concerned about. You're 8, 10, 12 seconds into a possession. The ball goes into the post. Here comes the trap. Now it comes out. Now it gets swung. Now you're down to six spots
right
on the shot clock. You're calling red already from the bench.
Yeah.
And it ends up in his hands, and he likes to put it down. So what's going to happen after that? Look, that's when you play through Embiid. But here's the thing. James Harden's supposed to be a superstar scorer. So he should be able to be the initiator off a ball screen or off an isolation, the way that we've seen him throughout his career dominate people. And that's where I get concerned, because you would like to think he can, be what he's been throughout his career in these moments, but he doesn't look that way right now to me. So those step back threes are not going in at a very high rate. The drives, he's not finishing in the paint the way that he normally does. He's also, I think, not getting the benefit of the doubt on some of these calls where guys are raking down on him on these drives. And I don't know if that's a respect factor that refs were giving him when he was on that level leading the league in scoring and all that, or what, but I feel like the same amount of contact he's initiating and guys raking down on his arms and whatnot, and I don't feel like the whistle's as consistent with him.
Yeah,
and so he's focused more on that than he is finishing the play, because he's not finishing stuff in the lane, Anthony. So this entire series, I don't want to make it so much about one guy, but I'm telling you right now, entire series is James Harden, period.
I agree. I mean, the whole playoff run is all about Harden and what kind of state he's in. And let me ask off of that again, and I brought this up ad nauseum the last couple of weeks. I got to believe one thing, that you get a guy who's 32, going on 33, who's done it all, he's won scoring titles, he's had big regular seasons, gaudy numbers, he's come here for a reason. He wanted to be traded to Philadelphia. He got, in fact, he made it so that he got out of his, basically pouted until Kevin Durant said, get him out.
Right.
All right? If that's the case, I got to believe he's got something extra for the playoffs, that he's been, I don't know about saving it or whatever, but he's got more focus, he's more attentive. Whatever it is, he's got a little something more in the playoffs.
Listen, man, that makes the total sense. That's logical. Well, then explain something to me. And I'm curious, because I've been talking about this for the last 2 days on a national level. I want to know locally. What was the reaction to James Harden saying he's got nothing to prove?
Yeah, no.
You got to be kidding me, man.
I know.
You got to be kidding me.
I know.
Come on. Listen, man, you can put that out there for public consumption, and I know why athletes do that. Westbrook did something.
It's a defense mechanism. You know it.
It's 100% to tell the media, in particular, and by proxy the fans.
Yeah, leave me alone.
Nothing you say or think affects me.
Right.
I'm in my own world. I'm good. I'm comfortable with who I am. So there, I got nothing to prove. It's such a terrible answer. What are you talking about? You've got more to prove than anybody in the
league. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, right now in this situation. So my thing was, you know, what's a better answer? You know, you don't want to say, oh, yeah, you know, I really feel it. No, what you say is this. I think this would put Joel Embiid's mind at ease. If you say, listen, I understand, man, there is pressure. You're right. I don't have a title on my resume. I came here to win one, and I know I got to perform for us to do that, and that's what I'm here to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy answer.
Why is that so hard to say, man?
But you know how it is. These dudes, listen, you know how it is more than anybody who played in the league with them.
No, I know that, Anthony, but I'm
great saying, players.
If I'm a fan or a teammate, based on his track record, that's the last thing I want to hear him say, because I said this on the air yesterday. I said, two things in Philadelphia. I'm telling you right now, they're going to have a hard time with. They can live with bad performances, and they can live with shooting slumps, and they can live with all that stuff. There's two things they can't accept. One is what Ben Simmons exhibited last year against Atlanta, which is fear. They can't accept it. They can't understand it, particularly a guy that's number one pick in the draft, an elite-level athlete that is that afraid of the moment. Okay, they can't relate to that. And the second thing is they can't relate to guys who don't come off like they want. They will die to win like the fan base will.
Right.
And that's what that answer indicates.
Listen, I don't disagree with you. But, again, you play with great players. You play with them. You play with these dudes. You know that they're not going to give in to that. Like, that, Harden's answer is, hey, man, like, I'm good. Like, don't be looking here. I'm good.
Oh, my goodness. It's just, I didn't like hearing that.
I hear you. I hear you.
Changed it, even if he said what I just said was a better answer.
It was a better answer. I don't disagree with you.
I don't know that I would change necessarily like, oh, okay, he's good to go. But at least it would tell me he's trying to get himself into that place mentally. And he's trying to let Joel Embiid know, like, listen, man, I understand. There's a lot at stake here. He's acting like, no, it's good. What difference does it make? Yeah, I'm going to do my
best. Yeah, but here's the thing. In his defense, I've seen it all week. I mean, he's working hard at practice. Like, he's engaged. They're staying late after practice. Like, they've been engaged this week.
I've never heard that he's not engaged. That's one thing about James Harden I repeatedly heard in Houston. But this dude is locked in. He loves to play. That's
right.
Why, when all that load management was going on, you know, in the beginning, and he's out in Houston playing every single night, I have so much respect for that. The guy loves to play basketball. But there's clearly an issue that he has had in the past with pressure. And
yeah.
It's going to be a lot more.
I know. You're right.
He's got to come through. I expect Embiid to play great. You know, I think Tobias will probably have an up and down series. I think Maxey will have an up and down series. I think Embiid will be great. Well, if you have the two best offensive players in this series and they, and one plays great and one plays well, you're going on to the next round. If one plays great and the other is below average, which is what James Harden has been for the last 2 weeks, they will not win this round. So it's really in his lap, and that's what this comes down to. We can break down all the X's and O's, the matchups, and all that stuff we want, man. The benches, the coaching, all of it, okay? Truth of the matter is, it's going to come down to James Harden, and it's going to come down to adjustments in-game. Those are the two things that are going to determine this series.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. The great Tim Legler on the Comcast Business Hotline. Let me ask you about Maxey for one, because the one thing about Maxey is he's a little bit of an unknown. Like, you could see Maxey, like, I could see him, I don't know, does he have anything magical that he could give you? A couple
games?
He
might, man. He might.
You
look,
know?
He has a spirit about him and a bounce.
Right?
That makes you say, you know what? For a guy going through this for the first time at this level where he's the starter now and he's had such a great year, such big moments, and he's such a fan favorite, like, you can, it doesn't look like he's a guy that's overthinking this or that
he's
just going to go out there and be him. But the reason I said he'd be up and down is, bottom line is, it is the first time through the playoffs, and he is a young player. So I expect him to, if this thing goes seven games, and I think it very well could, I expect Maxey, maybe he plays really, really well to great in, you know, four of those games. Maybe he's just okay in a fifth, and maybe he has two poor games. That's about what you're going to expect out of him, but I certainly do not think, one thing I do not think, is that those lights get turned up and he somehow shrinks from that. I just don't see that happening. I think he's going to embrace it. It may not necessarily, you know, go great because he's such a young guy and the intensity is different. The speed is going to be different. What they allow physically is going to be different against him off the dribble. So maybe he's a little bit more off balance on some of his drives because they're just not going to call all that stuff they call in the regular season. So he might not be great or even what he was in the regular season. But I do think he'll be close to that, and he's going to have some moments where he absolutely looks totally comfortable and what's going on. So I'm not really worried about him. I'm not that. I'm a little bit worried about Tobias because of his track record also in the postseason.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's, you know, look, he's had some moments, man, where you go, man, you know, he's getting good looks and they're not going in. So he'll be up and down. I think Embiid's going to be great, although he's going to be adjusting to a defense completely focused on not letting him beat them single-handedly. So once again, man.
Goes back to Harden.
Yeah. Your point guard. It comes down to the guy that you're a primary ball handler coming through and not just, because I'll be perfectly honest with you. Dude, I don't care if James Harden gets 12 to 15 assists. This dude needs to get you 25, and he needs to he needs to get you 8 in the fourth quarter of tight games. That's all that matters.
Yes.
It's great that he facilitates. That's great, man. He's going to need to do that too. But that is, to me, in this series, that's, and the postseason in general, secondary to him forcing you to react to him because he's scoring. And now the playmaking comes as a byproduct of that. I need to see him, one possession game, coming out of a timeout with 4 minutes left, I need to see James Harden rise to the occasion.
I'm with you. Hey, Legs, great stuff. Real quick, because I got to go, Boston or Brooklyn in that series?
I'm going with Boston, and I know it's all of a sudden the popular pick here is to go with the Nets, and I'm telling you, I just love Boston's defense overall. It comes down to Tatum. This is his moment to pull a seat up to the big table of the true stars in this league. He's going head-to-head with Durant, the two best small forwards in the game. He has got to play as well or better than Kevin Durant, and that's a tall order, but I think he's up to it, and then it'll come down to Celtics defense in big moments being able to get stops. They've been the number one defense in the league for 2 months for a reason, and 26-6 in their last 32 games. They're legit. The darling pick right now is because Kyrie and KD looked so good the other night. I think the Celtics overall team is better.
Sounds good. Listen, happy Easter, brother. God bless you and the family.
Same,
all right?
Same, brother. I'll talk
Thanks,
to you
pal. Here he is. Legs.
Not overly negative. You guys are Sixers in the series.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.